RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Sports Radio 910 The Fan.
Bring the energy!
It's happening.
Get it. For your lives.
It's time for MP on the mic.
Cunning, capable, agile, flexible.
It gets me pumped and it gets me going.
Michael Phillips is...
Let's go!
MP on the mic.
Eighth-ranked team in the country needs 12 yards to avoid the upset. Cavaliers with three down linemen. Castellanos in the shotgun. Virginia brings the blitz. Castellanos in trouble. Hit as he throws. Hangs it up towards the end zone. And it's intercepted! Virginia has done it! Virginia has taken down Florida State. I swear it's not a dream.
Monday morning, MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. What'd you think we were going to start with? The Commanders? Come on. Yeah, we'll get to them. We'll go inside the locker room. We'll do what we do on Mondays. We'll break it down. Not a depressing loss in the sense that you were down a lot of pieces offensively and still did well, but a very depressing loss defensively. And with the big question, I'm going to ask the big question when we get to the Commanders at 10:30. And the question is Dan Quinn as good as we think he is at managing this whole thing? Because, man, he is a defensive guy and the defense is struggling right now. After a couple good weeks, too good, too bad, they'll be tested. It's a week-to-week league. They'll be tested next week against the Chargers. We will get to all that. We'll get to Virginia Tech winning in Raleigh, which, by the way, UVA couldn't. So how about that? UVA goes down to Raleigh, can't get the win, loses one possession game. How about Virginia Tech getting the win in Raleigh? Oh, by the way, in a one-possession game. How about that? Virginia Tech winning a one-possession game is not the sort of thing we're used to seeing or that we see every day. Lots to get to in the NFL. Of course, Tyler Warren, Travion Henderson, both with touchdowns yesterday representing Richmond. Russell Wilson goes to the bench. Jackson Dart leads the Giants to an improbable win over the undefeated Chargers. We're down to two undefeated teams in football. Chiefs get the monster win. Lamar leaves with a hamstring injury. Lots to break down. Lots to get to across the NFL. But as I mentioned, we've got to start on Friday night in Charlottesville, Virginia, where it was an impressive showing on the field. That was an impressive showing storming the field as well. Man, those fans, they that pass, I'm not even sure it had hit the ground yet. And all of a sudden, there were 50,000 people on the field there at Scott Stadium. UVA's got 3 wins now against ranked Florida State teams all time. It's just kind of a thing they do. It's their matchup. They've got their number. And by the way, not just last night, what it means for the program, what it means for them potentially going forward. But I'm going to throw something out there this morning, and you can feel free to laugh at it. And it's okay to laugh at it. But I think we've got Miami-Florida State this weekend, right? One of those two teams is going to lose. If Florida State wins that, you're looking at an ACC that has a lot of parity to it at the top. Louisville's a good team. Georgia Tech is undefeated right now. They're a good team. UVA is undefeated in ACC play. I don't think they're going to end that way, but that's where I'm getting to. UVA's got a really easy schedule coming in. And so I'm not saying, is UVA good enough to make the college football playoffs? Because they're not. And we all see that, right? So don't hear me saying MP says UVA's good enough to make the playoffs. They're not. But what I'm saying is the ACC is a league that consistently delivers us chaos. And UVA's at Louisville on Saturday, and I don't think they'll win that game. But if they do, that changes things big time. But even if they lose in Louisville on Saturday, there's a chance they run the board the rest of the way. They're at UNC. They can beat Bill Belichick. They're at Cal. They can beat Ron Rivera. They're at home against Wake Forest. That was a game they were competitive in last year, and they're a better team this year. They're at Duke. They can beat Duke. And then they're hosting Virginia Tech, and they can beat Virginia Tech. And so that's my roundabout way of saying what I want to say, which is there a chance UVA could be in the ACC title game this year? I don't think it's impossible. They've got the tiebreaker on Florida State. There's a couple different scenarios here. One is you want Florida State to beat Miami, create chaos, give everybody losses. You keep floating up there at the top. The other theory is maybe you want Miami to beat Florida State. And Miami's the dominant team, and we just don't have a second dominant team, right? Louisville would be the logical candidate, but Louisville's going to Miami. Louisville's going to Virginia Tech. Louisville's hosting Clemson. Louisville's going to SMU. They've got a brutal schedule. Louisville's not getting out of that unscathed. It's possible Louisville could take 2 L's. And Georgia Tech is whatever Georgia Tech is at this point. Obviously, they have to be respected. But if you were to give me a parlay right now that either UVA or Georgia Tech is playing in the ACC title game, I think looking at what I'm looking at right now, I think I'd take it. Isn't that crazy to think about? Certainly crazy in Wahoo land. The win is enough. You don't need me dreaming big on a Monday. Who's Talking can do that. Our UVA show is at 6 o'clock tonight. But UVA is, you know, on the come up. Tony Elliott, this is the year, right? They invested big in Chandler Morris. They invested big in the program, in the atmosphere, in the environment. They had to deliver this year. And that didn't mean you had to beat Florida State, but national TV, taking care of business. How about that? What a nice win for the Wahoos. Fantastic. And we'll come back to that later in the show. But I want to get that out of the way now because I'm thinking about it. UVA's got an easy schedule. I don't think they win in Louisville on Saturday, but I think they could run the table from there. So that's a 1-loss UVA team at the end of the year. If Louisville can take 2 and Georgia Tech can take 2 or take 1 and not have the tiebreaker, it's not unthinkable UVA's in the ACC title game this year. Now, what we saw last year, I think UVA's a year too late to sneak into the playoffs because what we saw last year, remember, SMU was clearly not as good as Miami, but snuck into that ACC title game. As a result, they let SMU into the playoffs. Clearly, Miami was the team that belonged, but they didn't want to devalue the title game. I think we're on the verge of rethinking those title games anyway. I don't think the committee is going to do that this year because there was all that hairy about why would you punish a team for playing an extra game? I think if UVA gets to that point, it's going to be clear they're not playoff good, and I don't think the committee would have a problem leaving them out. All of which is to say, how fun would it be to have the University of Virginia in the ACC title game in Charlotte at the end of the year? And it's not implausible. And I'm not pumping the tires, right? It's a football's all about overreaction. We do overreaction Monday. Everybody overreacts to everything. I'm not overreacting to UVA beating Florida State. I'm overreacting to this schedule, which we knew would be soft, and I think has turned out to be really soft after they get back from Louisville on Saturday. Now, of course, I mentioned, if they find a way to beat Louisville, just throw everything out. Throw out everything, because these guys are on a fast track. We can talk playoffs if they beat Louisville. I don't think they will. But, man, that Florida State game speaks for itself. A fantastic finish. How about that back-to-back years? Virginia team against a Florida team with a wild last-second finish that involved controversial instant replay. I love that we get to hear the replay booth now. How much would you have loved to have heard that replay booth when it was Virginia Tech Miami last year and they overturned the touchdown that would have won the game for the Virginia Tech Hokies? How much would you have enjoyed hearing that discussion? I think that is a huge, huge asset to the broadcast to have that. And I think it, you know, as we talk about conspiracy theories and money and football, all that, now, obviously the incentives were aligned for the ACC to give that call to Florida State because you needed that Florida State Miami game this weekend to have as much juice as humanly possible. It didn't work out that way. I think generally speaking, they always do the right thing or what they perceive to do. Like, they're not in the tank. I don't think they made the right call last year in Virginia Tech Miami. I don't think they made the right call in the Danny Cole Sugar Bowl catch. Yeah, I'm still not over that. I don't think they always make the right call, but I don't think it's a conspiracy, ill intention, that sort of thing. But I love that you get to hear the thought process, hear the communication. I think that makes it a lot more open, a lot more opaque, a lot cooler than what you had before, which was we all just sit around for 3 minutes, come to our own conclusions, and then they say something that's the opposite. Kudos to UVA. Plenty more on them throughout the show. You'll hear from Tony Elliott inside that locker room in Charlottesville. Can't wait to get AWOD's stories from that. He was out there on Friday night. I'm guessing he had a good time. He'll come around at noon. He's at Capitol Ale House. You'll go hang out with him. Toast the Wahoos. Get out to Innsbruck, Capitol Ale House, Innsbruck. AWOD will be doing his show live from there, noon to 3. Can't lose sight of the fact that it is a misery Monday. Lost opportunity for the Commanders, who under Marcus Mariota, I'm going to say did enough offensively. 27 points. I know there were nits you could pick in that offensive performance, and we will at 10:30 when we go inside the locker room, and we will tomorrow during Commanders Rewind. Certainly not a flawless performance, but I thought a really good performance. Luke McCaffrey stepped up. I thought the running back stepped up. And I think that's when Marcus Mariota was asked to do more, he struggled to do more. I just think he's not a guy who can do more. He showed the wheels, though. He's got the wheels. This is a team that needs Jaden Daniels back. They're going out to L.A. They're taking on the Chargers. Last year, so many things break right for this team. This year, you have a team that all of a sudden is playing a desperate Falcons team that got blanked by Carolina, now is playing a desperate Chargers team that just got embarrassed in New York against the Giants. The schedule has not broken their way in a lot of ways this season. So we'll get to the Commanders. We'll do that in about 15 minutes. We'll break down the Ryder Cup. America lost. We finished breaking down the Ryder Cup. You know we're going to have a baseball update because this show believes in the baseball update. And this show, if we stand for nothing, what else would we stand for than the New York Mets scoring 0 runs and losing to the Miami Marlins on a decisive game day? We're gonna laugh at the Mets. Don't you worry about that. We're going to do it all. We got 2 hours. It's going to be a jam-packed show, I think, when it's all said and done. You're listening to MP on the Mic.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
910 the fan, 105.1 FM. Well, good morning, Monday's show. I can't even call it a misery Monday. I guess if you're a golf fan and a Commanders fan, it's a misery Monday. UVA and Tech both win. The Mets lose. We'll get to that in a second because I want to do a baseball update and laugh at the Mets. I mentioned the crowd coming down at the end of the UVA game. How incredible was that? That was the most efficient field storming of all time. UVA fined $50,000. For having the kids come onto the field. Yeah, cut that check. That is worth it. By the way, Chandler Morris, they spend all that money on a quarterback this offseason. He's like, well, it's UVA. Why you spend all that money on football? Spend that money on basketball. Spend that money on baseball, on lacrosse, on swimming. Well, that's why. Nothing galvanizes a campus, a community, like a big football win. And for the kids who hung around, and it wasn't everybody, and it wasn't a sellout, but for the people who hung around, that was a moment they will not soon forget. Coming from the hill, they were just right on the field. A miracle that nobody got hurt, especially in Florida State. You saw in the video, some of the UVA kids were flipping the bird to the Florida State kids. And don't be an idiot. Celebrate, party with your people. Don't make it personal. That's how people get hurt. There's always going to be morons in a crowd. But on the whole, a remarkably efficient performance by the UVA students getting from the top of the hill to the bottom of the hill at breakneck speed, really, and none of the players getting hurt. 19 fans treated for injuries at the hospital. That's going to happen when you have that many people running down. You know me, when we do the court storming debate every few years, I'm pro-fun. Let the kids have fun. The kids had fun running down the hill, running on the field. If you can do it safely, do it. If you can't do it safely, revisit that. But I think everybody running down the hill knew the inherent risks. And if some of them ended up in the hospital, you know, that's unfortunate, obviously. But I don't think that should be a reason to stop the tradition for big wins, especially given how big that win was. That's what the Tony Elliott era has been building to. We'll hear from Tony Elliott again later in the program. You know, very few minutes are devoted to baseball during football season on this radio station, but this program believes wholeheartedly in devoting those minutes. We carve them out, and we call it the Baseball Update.
Over the shoulder, end zone, touchdown! 15-point ball, touchdown!
We interrupt this program to get
baseball at its best.
First pitch, pops it up, right side of the infield, back into shallow right field, makes the catch. One pitch, one out to start the ninth.
Baseball stuff!
Baseball stuff!
Well, we have the bracket now for the Major League Baseball playoffs. The Mets spent $40 billion, all numbers approximate, on players this offseason. So I assume that they'll be on. What's that you're saying? So the Mets, who did pay Juan Soto a record amount for a baseball player, and he was good, by the way, and have Steve Cohen, a private equity guy who's got more money than he knows what to do with, so he bought himself a nice baseball team. The Mets entered the final day of the season needing to win and needing the Cincinnati Reds to lose to make the playoffs. Well, the Reds were playing the Milwaukee Brewers. They lost. But the Mets were playing the Miami Marlins, who, it says here, are not good. Not only did they lose 4-0. They didn't score a run. That's the kind of positive energy I love as we start the baseball playoffs. Mets not making the playoffs. Sorry, Brian. I hear Brian, the traffic guy, running upstairs right now. Sorry, Brian. I love it. I cannot get enough of that storyline. I will be rooting For the Brewers, for the Mariners, for the Blue Jays, for all the small market teams, we've got a whole AL East series brewing here. So we got Yankees and Red Sox, and the winner will go play a series against the Toronto Blue Jays. So one, Yankees, Red Sox, that'll give some juice to the baseball postseason. Everybody enjoys that. Two, they'll go play the Blue Jays, so you get a little division action again. Blue Jays get a chance to back up their season. That's fun. Those are the matchups we like. On the other side, the Cleveland Guardians complete the most remarkable comeback slash the biggest choke ever by the Detroit Tigers, who had a 15-game lead in the division, 10-game lead at the start of this very month of September, lost the AL Central title to the Cleveland Guardians, who will now host that best of three wild card series against the Detroit Tigers. Winner of that gets the Mariners. Yeah, I don't like the baseball playoff format. We're not devoting time to that today. We got way too much to get to today. I don't like it, the format at all. The Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Blue Jays, three teams from the same division, are going to spend the next 2 weeks playing each other in the playoffs. What did we just play 162 games for, if not to sort that out? Now, they were all ridiculously close. They're all right nipping at each other. You know, the Yankees were right on the Blue Jays. Red Sox had their surge in the middle of the season. They're all good baseball teams. I don't understand why we're doing what we're doing. On the other side, Cubs-Padres, that's a series. Looking forward to that one. That one should be a lot of fun. Winner of that will get the Brewers. We've got Reds-Dodgers. The Dodgers, who paid $1 zillion, will have to play their way in to face the Phillies. If we have Dodgers-Phillies in the NLDS, that'll be an all-timer of a series. Two great teams, two high payrolls. Two teams we would have expected to see in the championship round. That will be a really fun one. But that's later, and this is now. So baseball playoffs, looking forward to that. No more tiebreakers, no more that. We do the tiebreakers by math now, so we have our playoff matchup set. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to more baseball updates. No more Ryder Cup updates after today, I'll tell you that for sure. Actually, that's probably not true. We'll probably talk with Gary Hess about that on Thursday, because I know he'll have thoughts. Americans got waxed on Friday and Saturday. Had the best day maybe of any Ryder Cup team in a long time on Sunday. Just wasn't enough to get over the hump. Lots of storylines to get to there. Starting with Scottie Scheffler, best golfer in the world, goes 0 for Friday and Saturday, playing twice. That's not good. Now, I think it speaks to the unique nature of the Ryder Cup, too. Tiger Woods was actually never great in Ryder Cups either. I think those great golfers have a hard time adjusting to the environment where everybody's yelling, everybody's screaming. And they're greats. They're greats because they rise above that normally. But the whole point of the Ryder Cup is to embrace that. And I don't know. I think it's fascinating that you get an all-time great golfer who can't rise to that moment. I think there was a lot else to get to as well. Like, they played good golf the whole weekend. They played great golf on Sunday. Just wasn't enough. Kudos to Europe. Took care of business. We'll never speak of it again, or at least for two more years, or until we talk to Gary on Thursday. We'll have fun with Gary. That part of the Gary show won't be fun. But America loses at the Ryder Cup. The ticket prices, man. We were talking about the ticket prices. $750. Ended up getting below $200 to go on Sunday. I dare say the people who paid to go on Sunday, if you waited it out, if you were the 200 crowd, I think they got their money's worth. Almost a great comeback. Europe going with the goofy thing where one of their guys was hurt, so they took a potential point out. I mean, almost had ourselves a day to remember there at the Ryder Cup. Wasn't a day to remember, but it was a weekend to remember. I said it'd be a great weekend of sports. And it was a great weekend of sports. That's what matters here. We'll get to all that. Virginia Tech taking care of business in Raleigh. What does it mean for the Hokies going forward? Obviously, they don't have any long-term solutions there, but it makes this season more bearable for sure, and we like that. We'll take you up to noon. AWOD Radio's over at Capitol Ale House in Innsbruck. He'll be telling stories about Friday at UVA. We've been pushing it off for long enough, though. It is time to get to Misery Monday. We will do that on the other side of the break. Commanders fall at the Falcons. Big questions about the defense coming out of this one. We will take care of that. We'll take you inside the locker room. We'll play some post-game analysis and clips for you. We'll do it all on the other side. You're listening to the home of the Commanders in Richmond. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.
I figured out what went wrong for the Washington Commanders yesterday.
They scored fewer points than the Falcons. That was part of it. And we'll break that part down on Commanders Rewind. This is the part you won't hear on Commanders Rewind tomorrow. This is the actual reason. Not really. This is the reason the Commanders lost yesterday. Before the game, one of the players on the team gets in the middle of everybody, gives them a big fiery speech, gets them ready to play football, gets them pumped up. Now, obviously, injuries have been an issue here for the Washington Commanders recently. So, Jaden Daniels can't do that. Terry McLaurin can't do that. You had some good candidates. I bet Bobby Wagner gives a pretty good pump-up speech. That's not the direction they chose to go, though, yesterday.
Everybody's got their own juice that they bring to the table. Cut it loose all day. Cut it loose for you. Cut it loose for the guy next to you. Put on the gas all game. Hey!
Okay, one, it's not half bad for a punter. That's Tressway. And we love Tressway, and this show does not permit Tressway slander. I don't think Tressway should be giving out the motivational pregame speech, though. Good for him. He did as well as you could hope a punter could do, running around yelling about juice. He's picked up a thing or two in his time on the sidelines. I'm just not sure that's the job you want to entrust the punter with before the game, before a big game, before an NFL football game. If you got to give if you got to throw Tress a bone, maybe he won a bet with somebody. I don't know. Let him do it for a preseason game. That's a little more punter territory, and I don't know. Tressway. I'm making light of it, but what is Tressway doing giving the pregame pep talk? I don't know. Special teams, Matt Gay's good again. Luke McCaffrey having himself a day for the Washington Commanders on the home of the Commanders here, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. I'm sure we'll break that down tomorrow in Commanders Rewind. A very nice day for Luke McCaffrey. Is it time? Is fetch finally happening? Sure seems possible. Nice play so far by Luke McCaffrey. Love seeing him succeed, especially because this offense is so, I mean, they're calling names and numbers. I even know the names and numbers are calling. Number 13? Who's number 13? I'm not sure I was mentally prepared for a number 13 catching passes for the Washington Commanders. They had seven guys catch passes yesterday. Bill caught a pass. Good for Bill catching a pass. Tay Martin caught a pass yesterday. He's number 13. Good for him. Debo, six catches, 72 yards. Added a couple yards on the ground, 9 yards on the ground. Clearly, he was a focal point. He was a star for the offense. Time of possession just favored Atlanta, and they ran him into the ground. Bijan Robinson was great, as he usually is. I love that the Falcons do the thing where they're like, we also have Tyler Allgeier. He also can carry the ball. Please keep doing that, Atlanta, especially when you play the Commanders. I love that when that happens. Also, finally, first takeaway of the season. About time to get the first takeaway of the season. So that was nice. That was the good. The bad was the rest of it as the Commanders fall 34-27 to the Falcons. They're 2-2. There's worse places in the NFL than 2-2. 1-0 in the division against a Giants team that maybe is feisty now with Jackson Dart. I'm certainly thinking that may be it's when you play them, not who you play situation. For the Falcons, it was the opposite because they were coming off of that 30-0 drubbing at Carolina. Michael Penix took a step forward, and he did. He looked very good yesterday. By the way, I thought J.J. Watt called a nice game on CBS. I'm not sure I'd listen to a full game with J.J. Watt on the mic. I thought he did very well. Greg Olsen's the gold standard. We heard him in that early game. Nobody's going to touch him for broadcasting excellence right now in this moment. I love me some Tony Romo. I think Tony Romo got into the lab this offseason. He had a few different lines where it was like, Tony Romo's paying attention to the critiques. Tony Romo's listening to what people are saying about him because he mixed in some football sayings. He still was excited, and I like Tony Romo's enthusiasm, but he mixed in some oh, yeah, that's why you don't stunt right there. And he didn't take the time to explain. It was just a little, it was like a Madden-esque nod of like, I know football. Just so you know, I know football. I'm going to keep being excited. Oh, Jimmy, I wouldn't believe it. But also, you drop in a little something like, by the way, also, I know football. I'm going to drop a little something for you. I appreciated that. Make me smarter when I watch the game. Football is an incredible game, and we love it because it's so intricate. It's awesome. There's so much to get to. Make me smarter when I watch the game. Texans finally on the win board, 26-0 over the Titans. There were not a lot of down-to-the-wire games after what we did last week. Lions drew up the Browns, Bills beat the Saints. Both teams took as long as they possibly could. I thought the Jackson Dart was probably the most fascinating outcome. You got a Chargers team coming east, 3-0, flying high after some nice divisional wins. But for the Giants to get them, for Jackson Dart to do that, and also after not converting the fourth and goal, given the Chargers had two final chances. We knew the Giants were going to hang their hat on defense this year, but that's a statement right there. And that's the kind of statement these guys made against them in the opener, where I came away saying, oh, this D-line's really good. And then last week you said, oh, this D-line's really good. Look what they did to the Raiders. And then the Falcons kind of have their way with the secondary. Like, all right, I don't think the D-line's bad. I still think the D-line's good. Maybe I'll feel differently after I go watch the tape. But I don't know that everybody else is doing well enough right now to allow the D-line to be great. The Giants' defense you knew would be good this season. What a statement. And you know, you talk about playing for your quarterback, playing for your rookie. Jackson Dart comes in, scores you enough points to win, doesn't get the fourth and goal, which the coach trusts him to get. I love that, by the way. We're going to talk about fourth and goals later as well with UVA and Tech. Both had consequential fourth and goals. But then the defense backs it up with two monster stops. My survivor team, the Rams, survives because the Colts player tossed the ball celebrating the touchdown he hadn't scored yet. The Leon Lett in 2025, still very much alive and well. We love to see it. And then the Chiefs take care of business against the Ravens. That's a rethinker game for both teams. I'd said the Ravens were just fine. I still think the Ravens are just fine. Their schedule gets very easy. They're 1-3 right now. They should be no worse than 4-4 with a little bit of a reset. However, if Lamar's out for some time, man, that's going to be a tricky one to navigate in Baltimore, because much like here, without the quarterback, things don't move as smoothly there. Two undefeated teams left in football. It's the Eagles and the Bills. That's about as predictable as it gets right there. Chiefs at 2-2. Serving notice, Xavier Worthy's back. Patrick Mahomes, different guy when he has a weapon than when he doesn't have a weapon. It's very funny how those things work. We got one more hour with you, then we'll take you off to Capital Ale House in Innsbruck. That's where AWOD is standing by for AWOD Radio. Noon to 3 today, Grant and Daniel will drive you home, break down all things Commanders. Who's talking at 6 o'clock? You think they got stuff to talk about? Well, I'm here to tell you, they got stuff to talk about. Hour number 2, I do want to take on fourth down decisions, big ones for UVA, which used them to success against Florida State. Virginia Tech opted not to go for it on fourth down against NC State. They said, let's let the defense handle this. And the defense handled it. What does that say about the Hokies going into the second half of the season? The Commanders had a fourth down. Faked like they were going for it. Ultimately didn't kick the field goal. Interesting decision there, because that kind of cuts against the Dan Quinn. I worry Dan Quinn's coaching scared this year, him or Cliff Kingsbury. When we come back, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you my red-hot Dan Quinn take. You know I've kind of been lukewarm on him the whole time. I think yesterday was a good example. I think Dan Quinn benefited from the circumstance more than he created it. I will go in-depth on that. We'll spend another hour with you. It's a Misery Monday, but we're going to get back to that UVA celebration as well, because that was spectacular. Back with more after this. You're listening to the home of the Commanders in Richmond. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1. Empty on the mic, hour number 2 on a Misery Monday, but it's not all that misery, because UVA and Tech both win, and UVA knocks off Florida State, biggest win at Scott Stadium since
Last time they beat Florida State at Scott Stadium, I guess. It's kind of just a thing they do every once in a while. Set your watch for 2055 for an exciting UVA win over Florida State at Scott Stadium. They had a nice one down in Tallahassee, too, in the Mike London era. One of the Mike London signature wins. You forget that there were signature wins, but there were during that era. Maybe Tony Elliott's era will be the same way. Largely forgotten. Maybe he'll use this as a springboard. This could be a special season at UVA. We'll dive into all that in about 16 minutes. But I want to stick with the Commanders for now. Because here's what happened yesterday. The defense wasn't good enough to win. I think the special teams was largely good enough to win. Good field goals, kick returns. Now, gave up some action, but that's all right as well. It's a two-sided game. They get paid too. On offense, not perfect. Settled for some field goals. Unable to take advantage of the first takeaway of the season. And that's a lot of pressure on an offense, and especially a Marcus Mariota offense. Hey, you know, we finally got you one. You got to go do something with it. They turned it into three, but it could have been more for sure. I think Dan Quinn's coaching a little bit scared, but let's start with this. This is on the defense for sure. Post-game, Brian Mitchell, Santana Moss chatting after the game, and this goes back to Green Bay. Green Bay beat these guys by confusing the defensive backs, and then we saw the Raiders do some of that, and these guys largely tightened it up, but also just the defensive line was so good it didn't matter. As it was in week one against the Giants. The D-line was so good, Russell Wilson didn't have time to go deep, didn't have time to pick apart the secondary. Same for Geno Smith last week. Against the Falcons, they got after Penix, but he hung in there tough. He made tough throws. And boy, did he pick apart the secondary. Don't take my word for it. Here are the experts, Brian Mitchell, Santana Moss, chatting on the official Commanders postgame.
This defense has to realize what Atlanta did today.
Everybody's going to try that.
Until they figure that out. And this is an everybody thing, from coaches, players, all of it. They got to find a way. They kept giving that little stacked look.
Yeah.
And one guy went inside, and other guy goes. When they would drop over, he'd go up to the out, boom. And they were killing them all day with it. They got to find a way to change that up.
We always say it's a copycat lead, and we were sitting there in the press box just calling out some of the things. Every time I saw him getting that bunch, I could just see where the defensive backs wasn't fully aware of what their job was to do. And it's not that they don't know their job, so don't quote me wrong. It's just knowing in that situation, what should I do? Should I box them? Should I stay man? Should I switch? You know what I mean? So they just got to get that communication down.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that coach is going to be showing them this film all week long. Let them know, hey, this is going to beat us all year until we figure it out.
And Beamish, the things Tanner talked about in your experience, how do you pan those things out? How do you fix it? Because we have another road game coming up very quickly.
Yeah.
How do you fix that when you're on the road back to back?
You just got to get better communication. Like, yeah. You find out. Look at the film and watch what they were doing.
Yeah.
You can cover that a different way. Sometimes don't pass them off. Go with them.
Yeah.
And it'll be better to make it look like a man and go with the guy so the quarterback doesn't see a wide open guy running.
Yeah.
Because what they kept doing, they kept switching out. And every time they switched out, it seemed like both guys were wide open. You know, when you're just not 100% sure and you play a little hesitant, you allow guys to go out there and look more wide open than what they're supposed to be.
He certainly heard some greatest hits in there. We got to work on communication. Yeah, we've heard that one before. Certainly, you've heard that one for decades. Got to work on the communication. Frustrating when it's still you got to work on the communication. That's frustrating when it's Marshon Lattimore, a guy who's a Pro Bowler. Got to work on his communication, but it is. They have to figure out a way to stop teams from doing this to them, or it's going to keep happening to them, because that's how sports work. That's how football works. You find a way to beat a team, everybody else is going to do it. And this D-line had been sparing them that. But the D-line wasn't bad yesterday. I just want to emphasize that. They had their moments. I really don't think they were bad. Maybe I'll change my mind for Commanders Rewind tomorrow. But they certainly... They can't do it all. This secondary's got to do some of it, and this secondary looked lost. So many, when Bijan Robinson is wide open 15 yards downfield, he's their best player. This isn't even obscure guys getting open. Like, back in the day, lack of communication meant some tight end you've never heard of is going to torch these guys for 150 yards, and that was annoying then.
This Bijan Robinson. He's very good at football. What in the world are we doing here? But I think this loss shows something. And you know this has been my fear for a long time. Dan Quinn in Atlanta, how fitting, we take him back to Atlanta, talk about what happened in Atlanta. Dan Quinn in Atlanta had Matt Ryan, who, yeah, I was just trying to figure out how to tiptoe into this, because I think Matt Ryan's really good. We had that Hall of Fame discussion about Russ the other day. The numbers say Matt Ryan is Russell Wilson good. I'm going to leave that alone for now. I'm going to let you all debate that amongst yourselves. We'll get back to Russ arguments later in the week. Matt Ryan is a very, very good quarterback. I think everybody would agree with that. We don't need to talk about a Hall of Fame or not Hall of Fame. We just agree he was very good. And the guy calling plays was Kyle Shanahan, who, again, we got tiptoe into this one, right? Because there's a lot of baggage there. But Kyle Shanahan's a very good football coach, and he certainly knows his stuff. Dan Quinn benefited from having both of those guys. They made a Super Bowl together. Kyle Shanahan left. Matt Ryan got old, and the wheels fell off pretty quickly there in Atlanta. I think Dan Quinn is a great culture guy. I want to be clear about that. And I'm not saying Dan Quinn needs to be fired, because I'm not saying that. I'm saying since the beginning, I've been very nervous about what's going to happen when Cliff Kingsbury leaves. And what we saw yesterday, Cliff Kingsbury, who I thought called a good game for the most part, had Marcus Mariota, not Jaden Daniels, couldn't get those extra points. If Jaden Daniels is 100% and he plays yesterday, I believe the Commanders win the game. I do. I think Jaden's that good. I think he could have turned a lot of those three-point drives into seven just with his legs alone. I think late in the game, you think about those opportunities that were, you know, largely squandered in the third quarter. I think he could have been, you know, that deep throw to Lane, the interception that Mariota threw, where he just didn't take the second and look. It was a blind play call because they were trying to do the quick release thing. I think Jaden would have seen through the defense, right? So moments like that where I think it could have been a difference maker in the game. If Jaden had been there, I think they win the game. You've got Jaden and Cliff. They're a dream team. What's going to happen when they leave? This is year two of this defense, and I get that they don't have the resources they need to fully bolster it. They had to use draft picks to trade for left tackles and to trade for receivers and to trade for other weapons, and use draft picks to draft tackles and draft receivers and draft other weapons. Those are important things, right? And injuries are mounting. I'm not going to pretend they're not. Javonte Jean-Baptiste, probably tore his pec yesterday, is out for a while, right? So I'm not saying you can't explain it away. I'm just saying that D-line that was so good, that's what I thought that Dan Quinn was going to be in year two. He's a defensive coach. That's his unit. I thought they'd be better than this by now, and they're not. They gave up 34 to the Falcons. You got some referendum games coming up here because Cliff's not going to be with us forever. And Jane's awesome, but Jane's going to get hurt occasionally. Can you win the games where you don't have those guys? And long-term, can Dan Quinn find another great offensive coordinator? We've talked before on this show. Is that Mike McDaniel? I don't know. But I'm concerned about the post-Cliff Commanders because I'm not seeing enough out of Dan Quinn right now. By the way, wasting a timeout in the second half as well, setting up defensively, could have used that timeout late in the game. I don't think it would have changed everything. But you want to be working with all three timeouts, not two timeouts. Maybe could have forced the Falcons to punt one more time at the end. It would have been close. We had the onside kick there. It's a tough loss because these are the games they won last year. The Chicago game, the Atlanta game, these are comparables, right? And I said that before the year. I said this is a team that could be better, but also have a worse record because they beat Atlanta last year because Raheem Morris forgot how to call timeouts. And by the way, Raheem Morris still forgot how to call timeouts at halftime. Thank you, Raheem Morris. That was awesome. You can do that anytime you want. And they got better. They're indisputably better. The kicker was better yesterday, and they had some skilled players who are better, and Bill Merritt is better, you know, than they had last year at that option with B-Rob. They got better, but they're taking these steps backwards too. And I think the next few weeks are about the defense. The defense
got pants to Green Bay, came back, had a great showing against the Raiders. Can they do the same next week against the Chargers? I'll be fascinated to find out, because I really do think that this is more about the defense than the offense today. Not that it's zero on the offense, but without your top running back, top quarterback, and top wide receiver, you put up 27, you'd like to win that football game. You'd like to find a way to get that job done. The other reason it's on the defense is they did what they needed to do and then couldn't finish. Second and 17, second and 16, second and 13, second and 12, second and 12, second and 10, fourth and 2. I wrote down the list. The list goes on. Then on that last drive, third and 5, third and 6, and third and 6. Couldn't close on any of those three plays. Very disappointing effort by the defense. Very disappointing for Dan Quinn in year two to be overseeing losses like that. And you heard how deflated he was after the game. If you missed it, grab Inside the Locker Room at 10:30. He was doing the coach number. We're going to play better. I promise we're going to play better. We're going to get back to it. We're going to figure it out. As a deflated coach, who knows? This isn't the group I promised. This isn't the group I signed up for. And they did so much offensively. Bringing in Debo, I think, has helped them weather the Terry absence. Having Marcus Mariota has helped them weather the Jaden Daniels absence. But when you don't have Jaden and you don't have Terry, other guys have to step up. Against the Raiders, other guys stepped up. Yesterday, other guys didn't step up. And that's a big issue for the Washington Commanders. MP on the mic here. We're taking you up till noon on the Fan AWOD radios at Capitol Ale House, Innsbruck. He's having lunch with you today. Slide down there to Innsbruck. He was at UVA on Friday. I want to get back out to Charlottesville after that, because that game's way more fun to talk about than this game. We'll get to the Hokies as well. We'll do all of it. Take you up till noon. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. MP on the mic, Monday morning, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Not a misery Monday. It is for the Commanders, so we call it Misery Monday. But big UVA win. Still basking in that one. Double overtime, Florida State. Chandler Morris, hello. What a performance. What a performance by the students swarming the hill. We briefly mentioned the Hokies. Haven't mentioned JMU yet at all, which throttled Georgia Southern, which was a nice revenge game for them for one of their worst losses last year. By the way, can we get some excitement at JMU? Here's what it sounded like as they returned the opening kickoff of the second half for a touchdown.
This time, to the 20, to the 25, coming out to the 30, finds a little bit of seam, cuts it back to the inside. He's in the open field. Going down the middle of the field, there's number 21 hustling on through. That's Curtis Harris Lopez. Lopez to the end zone for the score.
Wow. Cool, I guess. Yeah, feel free to show a little excitement anytime. I'm not saying everybody needs to be Gus Johnson. I'm just saying here was Gus Johnson when Illinois fumbled it in the end zone on Saturday.
Here's Valentine.
What did you think he was going to say? Gus Johnson calling Illinois USC on Saturday. That's how you do it. That's excitement right there. Give me that. Give me a Tony Romo. I like excitement. Give me excitement any day of the week. There was excitement in Raleigh, Virginia Tech, going down beating NC State, which, by the way, UVA couldn't do. Just saying. That I'm not saying it's everything, because it's not, because UVA gave them a very good game. Tech gave them a good game. I'm saying two takeaways from this, aside from my UVA take, which I'll get back to, that I think they could make the ACC title game. Two things for Virginia Tech. One is they won a game UVA lost, going to Raleigh playing NC State. I think that's a good indicator for can they win in Charlottesville later this year, right? Because I think all the eggs are in that basket. Phillip Montgomery, very nice job. He's doing well as interim coach. Can he win in Charlottesville? If he can, he leaves as interim coach legend. If not, that's a pretty depressing L for the Hokies to take. Everything's building towards that game. Everybody needs to be building towards that game on that staff. Number two for the Hokies, though, as a one-score game, Brent Pry didn't win one-score games, which lends credence to the fact that we can talk about resources, we can talk about money going into the program, and you know, we do talk about those things a lot. But at the end of the day, The coach matters too. You replace the coach, they win a one-score game. I don't think that's coincidental at all. Here's how it ended in Raleigh.
If the Hokies get the stop, they get the win. From the 44, fourth and one. Wide side to the right, two receivers that way. Bailey throws on the left. Broken up, incomplete. That was Christian Ellis that got his hand in there to break it up and seal an ACC road victory for Virginia Tech tonight in Raleigh.
Wow. What a great play by Christian Ellis. He's made play after play tonight. None bigger than that one on fourth down. What a stop. That sideline erupted. They are so excited and happy.
And they need that, and the fans need that. Need a little excitement, need a little happiness in a lost season. Need to win a close game every once in a while. 23-21 for the Hokies. Tarion Stewart back. That was the main story here. He just bowls over people. Missed some of the early games. Man, he is a difference maker. Here he is on his signature run of the day.
Hokies on first down, handed off to Stewart, has a hole, breaks free of the 20, gets to the 30. Stewart in open field at the 40, stiff arms a man at the 45, down the left sideline to the 20, to the 10, he's at the 5, and they finally track him down on the 4-yard line. It'll go as an 86-yard run for Stewart, and the Hokies are knocking on the door, first and goal.
Man, was that a run. Again, he's just so patient, picking the hole, Billy. And then when he gets that second chance, he gets that burst at the second level, and he barely got caught.
Yeah, nice win for the Hokies. Doesn't change anything trajectory-wise. They're still going to have to redo the team after this offseason. Happiness is better than sadness, though, MP says on a misery Monday, stitched on a throw pill or something. I don't know. But it gives Virginia Tech a little hope that they can win some of these ACC games because they got a brutal schedule coming. Gives them a little hope. Also, maybe a little optimism. It's a team you beat in Raleigh. UVA couldn't beat that team in Raleigh. Those are the things you need to keep everybody engaged. Other interesting thing about the Virginia Tech game. Coaches are paid to make big decisions. Interim coaches are paid to make interim big decisions. Virginia Tech's got fourth and short on its own 40. Late in the game, down two. So if you give it to NC State and they get a field goal, they win. And a lot of thinking going on, a lot of math calculating going on, and they decide to punt it. And the defense holds and gets it done. Normally, you know, you love a coach who goes for it there, who has faith in his team. That was not Phillip Montgomery. He was asked after the game, "How close were you to going for it there?"
You know, a lot of discussions. I really wanted to go for it, if I'm being honest. If we were a little deeper into their territory, I probably would have. The only thing I looked at, I mean, they're basically already in field goal range if we don't. And that probably swayed me the other way. And our defense had been playing well, and I just trusted those guys to go out and do what they've been doing all day. And again, that's what we talked about, just trusting each other, everybody doing their job. And they stepped up big.
I love an offensive coach. Well, yeah, I wanted to go for it there. He did what was best for the team, though. And again, Brent Pry couldn't win one-score games. This guy just won a one-score game. That'll go a long way. With the fan base, that'll go a long way towards helping everybody make it through this season and still celebrate the tradition, celebrate the games, get out there, tailgate, for the players to practice, to know, hey, there's reward for the hard work. Because, man, when you go through a season, coach is fired, everybody leaves. That could be a very rough situation to be in. And we're already seeing it be a rough situation to be in. You saw the other day we talked about it, I think, on Crosstalk. I don't think it came in time for this show. I think it came in time for Crosstalk. Not a lawsuit yet, but potential legal action that happened. So Andy Bitter, love Andy Bitter over at Tech Sideline. Here's what happened. So there's a Virginia Tech player who wanted to redshirt. And when he went to redshirt, he told the team he wants to stay practicing, all that, just preserve a year of eligibility, and he wants to stay at Virginia Tech next year. Virginia Tech said, "We paid you an NIL. You're not playing. You don't get paid." Right? So that's, you know, that's a reasonable stance from Virginia Tech, right? You're being paid to play this season. You're telling us after four games you don't want to play anymore. and it's not an injury, you don't get to just do that. You don't get to just cash your checks and leave. Now, he's pointing out through his lawyer, Darren Heitner, he's pointing out NIL is not pay to play. NIL is payment for name, image, and likeness. Because remember, they're amateurs. This is a loophole we're driving through. And so he's taking advantage of the loophole the other way. He's saying, you paid for my name, image, and likeness. And, well, hey, you've got it. You've got all season of my name, image, and likeness. I'll keep coming to practice. You can slur me on as many billboards as you want. I'm doing the thing you told me to do. I'm enrolled at the school. You got to pay me. Now, I'm very curious how this ends up, because this could have interesting implications down the line in terms of getting paid, playing four games, sitting out. I got to think this isn't the last time we run into a situation like this. So that'll be fascinating to watch in Blacksburg. I would guess that gets settled, because in a settlement, nobody knows who wins and who loses, so there's no precedent set, and nobody wants to be the person to set the precedent. I know that for sure. But Virginia Tech, big win in Raleigh. They roll on. JMU takes care of business against Georgia Southern. We'll get back to the Wahoos, and you get plenty of Wahoos talk tonight, 6 o'clock. Who's Talking should be a fun edition of that one. A couple of guys who were around 30 years ago for that win over Florida State. Now another win over another ranked Florida State team, another program-defining win. We'll get back to the Commanders, go around the NFL after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan. Now we're far away from Commanders Talk on The Fan. We give you the most Commanders Talk in town. We got the games. I know we're spending a lot of time on UVA today, and we'll keep doing that. But we got to get back to the Commanders, too. And Michael Penix, tearing these guys apart. Penix averaged 11.14 yards per dropback. That's third best in the league this season. And it was a tough game because it was a lot of stuff that we've seen over the last couple of weeks. We saw in Green Bay, those guys ripping this defense apart at the seams in the secondary. We saw the defensive line get back to playing well last week as they did in the Giants game. And then another game yesterday where the line wasn't good enough to overcome what was thrown at them in the secondary. Penix had the quick release. Every time he dropped back, it seemed he had an open receiver. Those are big glaring problems that need to be fixed and need to be fixed soon, because they're going to LA. They got a bounce back game against the Chargers, who are having a bounce back game of their own after losing to Jackson Dart. The timing's not great on that one. Not to say there weren't bright spots for the Commanders yesterday. There certainly were. Chris Rodriguez, Bill, the running back, both playing really well. Didn't see a ton of Jeremy McNichols in the run game, but we know he's a weapon there. Caught a pass for no yards. So he got in the box score. But man, C-Rod, the big run, breaking it off. He's got talent. Bill, we know Bill's got talent. The two of them were really good on the ground. And I'm not one of these guys that's going to say they should have kept it on the ground more or anything like that. I mean, I think they did. I think they had to go to the pass when they fell behind two scores. They did. But you look at Mariota. He made some plays, too. I thought that two-point conversion was a full-on, wow, jaw-dropper of a play. That's an NFL quarterback play right there by Marcus Mariota. He made some of those, and he saved that drive by finding what was it, Debo. And it was a gutsy fourth down call, fourth and three. You could have kicked a field goal right there. Instead, you make the gutsy call, go for it. Debo gets it. Those are the plays you're paid to make. Debo's looked good. The skill players look good, as we thought they would. Laramie Tunsil, the numbers say he's doing well. Josh Connerly seems to have calmed down now that they've given him help on that side, and Trent Scott. I think there are a lot of positives. And I think, as I said earlier, I think if Jaden Daniels plays, they win that football game. I really do. I think if Jaden Daniels plays yesterday for the Commanders, he's a 7-point difference. And we talked about that. Like, who would you miss? Who would you not miss? We talked about Terry. Putting Terry into that game would not have changed the outcome. That's not to say he wouldn't have helped. He certainly would have. Putting Jaden in that game would have changed the outcome of that game. Jaden Daniels would have won that game for the Commanders. Jaden plus Terry, yeah, even better. Give that guy his weapons. But wasn't available. Neither of them were in Atlanta, which I don't know what to make of that. I think there was a lot of frustration on Friday. We went off the air after Jaden was declared out. We were getting the hints there at the end, which really surprised me. But Dan Quinn seemed frustrated, seemed short. Just the doctors haven't cleared him. It's medical. The doctors haven't cleared him, which tells me he planned to play Jaden Daniels on Sunday. And I think Jaden Daniels planned to play on Sunday. As I've said a million times and will say again, absolutely the right outcome that the doctors were allowed to make the decision. I don't want to be perceived as saying anything other than that. Absolutely the correct call that the doctors are in charge and the doctors get to make the decision and don't have to worry about repercussions. Don't have to worry about the owner coming down and messing with it. That is a positive for the organization. And that speaks to how well run the football organization is now. On the field, it was rough not having Jaden Daniels. I think Marcus Mariota did very well. I think he was NFL average. I think this defense was well below NFL average. 35-minute time of possession. Falcons gained 7 yards per play. Bijan Robinson was great. Alger came in. He was better than he should have been. They bottled him up in the backfield a couple times. Couldn't convert. In the secondary, Lattimore was killing him. It was brutal. Penix throws for 313 yards. After getting blanked in the last game against Carolina. And bounce backs will happen, and young guys go on swings. But, man, that's a tough one because that's a winnable game, and you get the sense that there aren't going to be – it's not going to be a coast into the playoffs this year. This is going to be a grind to the finish year where these guys need every possible win they could get. That was a possible win. They could have got it. And they didn't get it. Finally got cooperation from the field goal game. All sorts of that stuff. Just not enough to get over the hump defensively, which, I mean, I think is a big issue for this team because that's Dan Quinn. That's what Dan Quinn does. And just wasn't good enough out of the Commanders' defense yesterday. And potentially losing Javonte Jean-Baptiste as well, who is feared to have had a torn pec, which is brutal. The injuries are piling up. The injury luck has gone the other way as well, with Jaden obviously being the one that matters the most to these guys as well. Aaron Rodgers is 3-1, and I still don't think we know if the Steelers are any good or not. Beat the Patriots, beat the Jets, lost to the Seahawks, and then took care of the Vikings in Ireland, which sure, I don't know what to make of that one. They got the bye week. They're coming back. We'll get some real games on the slate for Aaron Rodgers. We'll find out if he's actually good or not. But I think they'll be one of the more intriguing flex game options for the NFL down the stretch because the Ravens aren't running away with that division. Bengals certainly are not running away with that division. We'll see the Bengals tonight against the Broncos. Bengals 2-1 against all odds. And I know the Broncos are better, and I know the Broncos are favored. That's a situation this game tonight, though. Joe Burrow's out for 3 months. You run the numbers. That doesn't mean he's out for the playoffs. If they could find a way to get just enough to get into the playoffs, they'd be a dangerous team. Monday night doubleheader with maybe one of the more forgettable Monday night games in recent memory up first. Jets and the Dolphins will be up first tonight. Avert your eyes, America. That's like old NFL Network Thursday night football style stuff right there. The Jets and the Dolphins. Somebody's got to win, as they say. Ties also allowed. A tie would be a fitting end to that one, the Jets and the Dolphins. But it's the Jackson Dart Show. He got his first one yesterday. He's a player of the day. Chiefs are back for the moment. 2-2. Chargers come back to earth. They're 3-1. We're going to have a fun season in the NFL. A lot of parity, a little bit more wild than normal. Eagles still undefeated. Bills still undefeated. We'll see both of them in the postseason. I think the Bills very much on cruise control to get that bye in the playoffs. But for everybody else, it's going to be a lot of fun. Tomorrow we'll do Commanders Rewind. We'll break down the game. I'm excited to dig deeper into this defensive performance. I just don't think it was good enough in the back seven. I don't think it's on the front four. But I'll be excited to dive into that. We'll take a look together tomorrow. We'll dive into that. I want to get back to Charlottesville, to UVA. We're at it. We're not going to be able to do baseball again in this show. But I need to say again, the Mets lost. All they had to do was win, and they would have made the playoffs because the Reds lost. the Mets lost 4-0 to the Miami Marlins. Also have some things I want to say about Bob Carpenter and his retirement from the booth for the Washington Nationals, but those things will get said on a future day. We can only do so much baseball on a Misery Monday slash Victory Storm the Hill in Charlottesville Monday. We've also got Ryder Cup, which I thought maybe we'd be talking a little bit more about the Ryder Cup, and then we had this envelope rule where they get Europe just gets to declare a match a draw, and the guy gets drawn out of the envelope and doesn't play. It really turned out not to matter at all. It was a thumping. It was a really fun Sunday at the Ryder Cup. Not fun enough that we talk about it on this show, though, because we got UVA to get to. I'm going to tell you, when we come back, I'm going to tell you how UVA can make it to the ACC title game. I know that sounds a little crazy. It's not ridiculous looking at this schedule. So we'll break that down. We'll get you off to AWOD Radio. He is noon to 3. We're back after this. You're listening to 910 The
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything, from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Fan Now 105, Monday morning. Welcome aboard. Got a Misery Monday out of our systems. And if you missed my Commanders red hot take, it was at 11 o'clock. Grab the Odyssey app. It's at the App Store, Google Play. It's got the rewind button, and it's free. We like free around here. So Dan Quinn, I think Dan Quinn's a good culture guy. I think he's the right guy. He was the right guy for this job in that moment to restore that sense of pride. I don't think Dan Quinn is a great coach on his own. I think he relies on the team around him. I think he relies on having a great quarterback. I think he relies on having Cliff Kingsbury. I think those are the things that help Dan Quinn go. They did in Atlanta. I think they do here as well. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I will be proven wrong in the days to come. But today belongs to the Wahoos. What a win. AWOD's going to tell you stories from the Hill, I'm sure. Noon to 3, he was there. Thrilling win. Biggest play of that win wasn't Chandler Morris. Wasn't even the defense in the fourth quarter. Wasn't the replay booth. We'll dive into all that in a second. It was the touchdown right before halftime. Here's Jamari Taylor.
Morris claps, accepts the snap, hands off to Taylor. Big hole over the right side, and he breaks free! He comes out of the crowd and dashes towards the diamonds into the end zone for a Virginia touchdown!
It was 14-0, then we blinked, and it was 21-14 Florida State. That was the moment. He took a big hit. He bounced off. He kept going. That was the moment where he said, okay, buckle up, we're going to play a game, because it sure felt like we were nearing the beginning of the end way too prematurely there and sending everybody out into that night soon. Instead, you get a touchdown before halftime, evens up the score. Here's Tony Elliott reflecting on that after the game.
So it was huge, right? It just leveled the game back to a 0-0 game so that we weren't chasing a possession, because we knew that this was going to be a one-possession game that you had to get to the fourth quarter and find a way to win it. And so that was huge, those two big plays. And those are just, man, those, all that is heart. Like, you know, at the end of the day, man, the guys got in position. Jamari was, I don't know if y'all heard it. That was a loud hit. He got hit right squarely in the hole and found a way to keep his legs moving and pop out. And so we were able to go in at half and be basically 0-0 with the 21-21 tie. So it was huge.
Then it was tied again after regulation. And then fun things happened. And then they won. What was great about it was, you know, the first team gets to pick if they have the ball or not in overtime. Second team gets to pick direction. So UVA picked in the second overtime, sent everybody straight into the hill. The timing on this couldn't have been better. You send everybody straight into the hill. They're ready to come running down anyways. You get a dramatic fourth down stop. Everybody comes running. I've seen it called the greatest field storming ever. I think it might have been. Just in terms of like, on TV, the visual of that, like the pass was barely broken up and there are 10,000 people on the field. I appreciate that none of the players got hurt. That's a minor miracle. But I think it was just time, circumstance. And for Florida State, remember, they stormed the field after beating Alabama in the opener down there in Tallahassee. So it's not like they've got a leg to stand on here in terms of complaining about it because they did it recently. But man, what a fun moment, what a memorable one for UVA. That's the kind of thing that puts your program back on the map. Now, here's the other thing. I've been talking all year. UVA's got an easy schedule. I like Chandler Morris. They invested big in a quarterback. By the way, Virginia Tech, that's what happens when you invest big in a quarterback. Things like that happen. Virginia Tech is going to put $40 million into its football program starting next year. That's what you have to do. That's what you have to do to play at this level. And by the way, it doesn't mean they'll win because everybody's playing at this level. You put $40 million into Virginia Tech football. I know people want to hear we will win as a result of that. No, you'll compete as a result of that. Still need to find the right coach, the right AD, the right general manager, all those other things. But you can't tell me I wasn't money well spent. Now, I know Tony Bennett, you know, allegedly had issues with the way money was spent over there. Brian O'Connor left. Right for Mississippi State, but football drives passion, alumni engagement like nothing else. 50,000 people there, they all left happy. Wasn't a sellout. That's the proof of why they needed to invest in football to get those games to sellouts in the future, because those people are coming back to watch more football games in Charlottesville, which is it's a beautiful site for a game, beautiful stadium. Easy enough in and out. There's traffic. It's a college town, but there's options. Great places to go before and after the game. Good food scene. It's a good place to go watch a football game, I guess is what I'm saying. And man, they took care of business there on Friday night. And then the great court, you know, crowd court storming, field storming on top of that got some national attention, which everybody loves for you. I love for UVA the national attention of, hey, look at these UVA fans. They're awesome. Hey, UVA wins. I love equally the national attention. Florida State, which has done more to dissolve the ACC than any other program, which has whined repeatedly about how they need to be in the SEC, about how they deserve to be in the SEC, how they are just way too good for this conference. I love it when things like this happen to them. Get back in line. ACC plays good football. Louisville plays good football. Miami plays good football. There's a lot of mid-tier teams playing good football, too. Watch out. Georgia Tech's going to get you. There's some good teams out there. Now, UVA doesn't play any of them, though. SMU's a good team. UVA doesn't play any of those teams. They got Louisville on Saturday. I don't think they win at Louisville on Saturday. I'll be open about that. If they win at Louisville on Saturday, we got to have a legit top 25 discussion. I know they're 24 right now, but we got to have the legit top 25 discussion with them if they beat Louisville. I don't think they will. I don't think they do. But if they do, just know, none of this matters because then we're talking about crazy things. Here's a crazy thing we're talking about today. After that Louisville game, I think they will be favored in every football game they play the rest of the way. Doesn't mean they'll win them, but it means they could, and it means maybe even they should at times. UNC is a team they can beat this year. Virginia Tech's a team they can beat this year. They play winnable games. ACC is an unbalanced schedule. Louisville's got a really hard schedule this year. A one conference loss UVA team could absolutely play for the conference title. A one loss in the ACC UVA team, because remember that NC State game was officially a non-conference game, not a conference game. It did not count for the conference standings. If they lose one in conference, they could play for the ACC championship. Now, if they lose to Miami in that game or whoever they lose to in that game, they're not making the playoffs. Because of what happened last year, because too many teams got in to protect the revenue from those games. They're not, the committee's not going to do that anymore. They've sent word. They're not doing that anymore. Strength of schedule matters now more than ever. But they could play. UVA could legitimately play for an ACC title. It is not far-fetched to think about. By the way, you talk about juice going to that Virginia Tech game. If they win, they play for an ACC championship. Virginia Tech playing to keep that streak alive, that dominance alive. We can have a really fun one the Saturday after Thanksgiving in Charlottesville. Just letting you know now, that could be a really fun football game. I'd sign up for that. I'd sign up to watch that. Could happen. We'll see. All right, our time's winding down. We're going to get you off to AWOD Radio. He's noon to 3. Grant and Danny will drive you home. They'll have a lot more on the Commanders. They'll go deeper than I went. I'm sticking with the offense was good. The defense was bad. That's a broad brush painting, but I need the defense to be better, especially when the head coach is a defensive guy. I really need the defense to be better. And we'll break it down as the week goes on. Big bounce back game. They got to go out west, play the Chargers. No gimmies there. Before coming back, rematch with the Bears, which will be a fascinating one as well. It's the NFL. You never know what's going to happen week to week. It's a topsy-turvy league. Carolina beats Atlanta by 30. Carolina comes back out, loses to the Patriots by 29. That is the NFL right now for you. Fortunes can change in a week, and that's what we're hanging our hat on this week as we enter Burgundy and Gold game week, and we'll get to that tomorrow. Right now, though, we're sending you off to Capitol Ale House, home of Richmond's OG Burger Night, AWOD Radio. For the next 3 hours, we'll crosstalk in about 20 minutes. I'll catch you then. You're listening to Richmond's home for the Commanders. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.